Good afternoon, everyone. I really do appreciate the opportunity to address the membership of the Nederlandse Co-op during our annual meeting each year. We can all be thankful to our Heavenly Father for this business and what it means to our greater community, and I am forever grateful for the opportunity this organization has given to me to serve these communities as well. Employees of the Nederlandse Co-op live this business every day, and it's easy to forget that not everyone is always thinking about what it takes to keep the wheels turning. I'd like to take this opportunity to give you, our member owners, a glimpse behind the scenes. So thank you for being here, for taking time out of your busy schedules, and showing interest in our business, the Co-op. I would also like to take a minute to thank the Board of Directors for their service to our community, making decisions and stewarding the business's capital, assets, and members' equity is not easy. While there are different ideas about how to go about this, one thing remains consistent as I interact with our board each year. It is obvious that each director cares about this business and the communities it serves. Directors on our board are most often farm business owners, which at times leads to good-natured ribbing from the other non-farmer directors. Meetings and events are scheduled around various seasons that directly affect green farmers without the slightest consideration of anyone else's schedule. Right, Curtis? Well, this year might be different. As you may have noticed, we have a lawyer, an engineer, and two farmers nominated to serve as directors. I was discussing this with one of the nominees earlier in November, and we figured my joke for this year's report had written itself. A lawyer, an engineer, and a farmer walk into the bar, or should I say boardroom. It can be difficult to know just how to express to you, our members, how important the people we hire to work at the co-op are to the success of the organization. Over the past couple of years, our management team has put significant focus on finding good employees, keeping good employees, and planning for the eventual retirement of several long-time serving employees. I'll preface this comment with the caveat that we recognize that focusing on this does not guarantee success, and there is always room for improvement. However, for the most part, I hope most of us here would agree that our community is well served by the departmental teams we have in place. And sometimes I'm not sure our frontline staff are even aware of how key they are to creating the positive shopping experience our customers enjoy every day. The success of our co-op is more than reporting a positive bottom line to our members and building member equity. Wayne alluded to this point in his report, but I also encourage you to take note of the labor expense in the financial statement as we review them with the auditors in a few minutes. There are a lot of reasons to support the co-op. It's your business, number one, but we also employ your neighbor, your family member, and support our community in this way as well. So just like to draw quickly attention to some of our anniversaries like I have in the past. 5 years of service, we have Sherry Eichema in the restaurant, Sharla Bucker in admin, and Cassandra Perdaniak in feed. 10 years of service, we have Marianne Henderson in the service center, Jane Van Leeuwen in the restaurant, and Eldon Wieringa, our controller. And 15 years of service, we have Jan Harik, and also a special thank you to Lori Wilcock, who celebrated 15 years of service and is now retired as of December. First, about a year and a half ago, the board approved the spend on an updated website project. While it took a little longer than we may have hoped to complete, I am pleased to announce that as of this past November, it is considered complete. Although I'm learning that a project like this may never be totally finished, and there's always updates, changes, and improvements to be made. The primary reason driving the decision to build a new website was our desire to be able to have customers order from our Sportsman Center online. All pages of the websites were not finished until this past year, but as of January, almost exactly a year ago from today, we started receiving orders online. So far, we've received about $200,000 worth of orders, plus a significant number made over the phone by customers that have found us and searched our product list online. It's been fascinating watching orders as they roll in, and it's changed our identity and the way we think about marketing, at least for the Sportsman Center. Consistently, about 60% of the orders received come from within Alberta, while the remaining 40% come from other provinces and territories. Second, our relationship with the Husky in Slave Lake is ongoing, and I'm happy to report that it has done better than the modeling showed when we purchased the contract, and we have more than recouped the initial capital expenditure we made in September of 2022. The current contract expires November 30th, 2027, but we've been working at re-signing a new 10-year contract with the owner, with FCL offering significant grant dollars to the owner as incentive if he does. And third, I want to talk about the Nerlandi Co-op's identity as the hub of our community. This year, we were approached by a local vendor, Robin Peters, and Robin's Bake Shop, for those of you that know her, who had plans of renting the replica store built for our 100th anniversary celebration. That was in 2022. And organized local vendors setting up shop the first Saturday of every month. We thought it sounded like an interesting idea and agreed to rent it out. This would help us better utilize the building and bring community together at our store. I think we underestimated how much impact this event would have on our community and on our business. The restaurant started providing buffet breakfast on these days, which were often very busy. We combined our annual summer event and the Historical Society's windmill grand opening with their rental on the first Saturday in August, and we were able to donate all rental fees received to the Barrhead and District FCSS, helping our greater community. I want to thank Robin for bringing this idea forward and for helping us build a culture of community first at the co-op. This event will continue in 2026, however, only during warmer months, so starting in March through to October. I would like to just close now with a few comments about Nerlandi Co-op's relationship with Federated Co-op and the co-op retailing system. At last year's AGM, we had a discussion after a question about FCL, so I felt it would be good to be more intentional about bringing it up again this year. While there's a lot of history and topics that we could discuss as it relates to this relationship, today I'm interested in sharing there's a better understanding of how FCL's bottom line and the strength of the CRS impacts us here in Nerlandia. Our auditors haven't reviewed our financial statement with us yet today. However, as an example, I'll compare this year's results to last year's. FCL has indicated that they expect tighter bottom lines over the next couple of years due to increased regulatory costs expected by the refinery. This year, our income from FCL totaled just over $2 million. While this is not insignificant, it works out to just over 2.2% of our revenue. If it increased by only a fraction of a percent and remained at 2.75%, as it was last year, which is a far cry from the 4-5% that we received in 2019 and 2020, we would have received almost $500,000 more dollars from FCL to distribute to our membership. The Nerlandia Co-op's ability to turn a local profit each year has meant that we have remained strong, a strong, viable business for over 100 years. Increasing sales, maintaining margins, and controlling expenses is the mantra we preach to staff every day or every year. And so far, we have been successful. It's also meant that we as an organization have possibly become a little desensitized to the effect FCL patronage has on our year-end results. A lot of dollars distributed back to our membership come directly as a result of the stake we have in FCL. Consider what a potential decrease in this patronage means for our membership and for ability to pay patronage moving forward. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts as to how to encourage our member owners to consider the role this organization plays in the communities we serve when making purchasing decisions. We are blessed. This organization has served us well for over a century, and this generation's goal should be to ensure that our children and grandchildren will continue to be served in the next. Thank you.